All right, everybody, I'm back doing the interviews. I got the draft expert on. Of course, welcome to the show. And let's just get right into it. How are you doing today, Coach?
Doing good. Gotta be good. I'm on here with you talking sports. Good day.
Yeah, could be doing it. You could be much worse, but let's get into some bad. Well, not for me. I'm a Mets fan. Of course, everybody heard my instant reaction. I never do them. But I had to do it for when the Mets came back from 7 runs.
Well, let me tell you, that night I was in home watching. I was listening to it on the radio, and Phillies were up 7-1. I got home like, all right, let me just turn it on. Let me get to see a victory. And I started to see the wheels start to come off when it was 7-3, and I shut it off. I'm like, nope, I can't do this to myself. I can't. Went up to bed. Turned it on when they put the pinch hitter in, and I could throw him a cookie right down the middle, and he hit a double. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. Then I saw Nimmo get the base hit to tie it, and I shut the TV off. I'm like, I didn't see the double to win the game, nothing. I'm like, I'm done.
You're going to hear this from my perspective, because I didn't tell the podcast listeners. I was so in shock when they came back. I was like rambling a little bit. So I watched the ninth inning. I was doing stuff because I am taking a summer class, ordering my textbook. So Lindor hit the home run, and I was like, okay, that's nice. Makes up for his error that I thought cost us the game. And then another guy gets hit. Another guy gets hit. I'm like, they're not going to do this. Like, once Dom Smith struck out, I was like, all right, this is over. But then they put Jankowski in to pinch run, which turned out to be really good. Nimmo just laced that double off Canable. That curveball was right down the middle. It was a hanging curveball.
So Nimmo got the single up the middle.
Yep, and then Marte hit the double.
Yeah. Yeah, Nimmo, too, when he was up, I'm like, oh, great, he's 0 for 4, so he's due. He's not going to go 0 for 5. And sure enough, he hits into my favorite Philly in center field, Dubel Herrera. I'm surprised he didn't throw it up into the press box or something, but.
Were you shocked? Because I was shocked the Mets did this. I know the Phillies' pen is bad. I'm not debating that.
Their pen, I mean, every year, I mean, they're bad, but they're a little improved. But it just fell apart. The wheels just started coming off, and it all starts what, with an infield single.
Yeah.
And then another one back to the mound where, our pitcher's foot slipped. Then he's safe at first. And just those little things just gave Mets life and stinking Phillies.
Now, the Mets ended up winning the series. And I was at the doubleheader Sunday. And I thought the Mets were not going to get swept after Scherzer got hit around. He only gave up 3 runs, though. A lot of the Philly fans are saying, fire Girardi. You're the most passionate Philly fan I know. The second one also comes on the podcast. Do you think it is time to fire Joe Girardi?
I just don't. As a Philly fan, we're so passionate and we wear our hearts on our sleeves and we're emotional. We're like a Larry Boa, like fired up kind of guy. And Girardi is just so boring to listen to. It's painful. Like, we would love it if he would show some emotion after a press conference, just show some emotion. I didn't like Charlie Manuel. We all made fun of him for the way he talked, but behind the scenes, he held players accountable for not running things out. He benched Jimmy Rollins for it. This guy seems to do nothing, absolutely nothing. So, yeah, I think we need a little notice. Like, we're bad, but we started the season off bad. But then as soon as Schwarber shows some emotion and flips out, the Phillies go on to win 4 in a row because they got a little fired up. And then back to Girardi again. And I'm not an analytics guy. I'm sorry. I know it's part of baseball. I know it's part of all sports. But I just like the feel of the game. Not every situation is the same. You got to have some kind of feel for the game. And I just feel they rely too much on the analytics.
You're right. And here's the thing about Joe. I'm shocked that he's doing this bad. I remember him when he was with the Yankees, because the Mets and Yankees, if you watch the Mets, you watch the Yankees. He was the most fired up manager the Yankees had since Billy Martin. And that's not coming from me. That's coming from Yankee fans. So to see what's going on with him right now is shocking.
I'm surprised, because, you know, he was a former catcher, mm-hmm. and he was like the throwback kind of catcher, you know. He wasn't like the big guy. Like, he was kind of like the little spark plug. Like, I liked him as a player. So I thought when Phillies hired him, that's what I thought we were getting. And I don't know, maybe behind the scenes he is more like that, but I mean, we spent all this money in the offseason, and we said, you know, if our pitching was supposed to be our weakness, but our starting pitching actually has been pretty good. Our ERA, our starters, is under 3 for like the last couple of weeks, and we're still losing. You know, we signed Schwarber, Castellano. You know, we have, I mean, our defense is brutal. I mean, it's absolutely horrendous, but our pitching's been better than we thought. Our hitting, I mean, we have these big time hitters, and I can't believe we're sitting at like 14 and 17 now.
Now, do you think if Girardi gets fired, that'll motivate the Phillies?
It's happened before. What was it? Was that the Florida Marlins? Years ago, they fired their manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
It was the Diamondbacks.
Was it McKeon they brought in mm-hmm. during the season? Just to add a little bit of fire to it, a sense of urgency. You know, baseball is, 162 games. You're going to have your ups and downs through it. So, I mean, they could go on. Well, they go to L.A. this week, so forget winning that one. But, I mean, they go on a little streak. You know, now with how the wild cards are, the more wild card teams, you know, they're only 31 games into this. They still got another 131 to go. But, yeah, if this continues here, they got to make a move.
Yeah, and I'm shocked he's this bad, and I'm happy the Mets have Buck Showalter. But I still stand by what I said in your room, that I would have wanted Joe Girardi. If we're having this conversation back in 2019, I would want Joe Girardi all the way.
I was the same. Like, I was happy when they got Girardi. Like having it, you know, the former catcher like he was. I mean, I was looking forward to that, and then now it's just God. He's just so boring.
You're not the only person that said that, because I was speaking to all the security guards, because the second game, it was a ghost town. Everyone just left. Like, I don't know if it was just like people saw the Phillies win and they were like, let's go home. But that place was a ghost town. So I had good seats already, but I got even better seats. And they were all telling me that they want Girardi gone because he has no fire.
Yeah, that's Philly. I mean, Phillies fans can be tough, but if you show that you care and you have some emotion, they forgive you for the losses and the mistakes. If you show that you care and all that. I mean, that's why we loved Chase. I mean, Chase Utley was a great player, but it's how he played the game, the reason why we love him so much. Mm-hmm. You know, we look at football with Brian Dawkins. Yeah, great player, but it's how he played and how he understood the fans. You know, that's why we love those players.
Alec Baum comes to mind. I mean, he made the errors, and I think I don't remember what he said. I can't say what he said now. I remember what he said.
Yep.
But Bill, I went to the game the next night with a couple of the baseball players from the team I coach, and they were cheering him like I've never seen before.
Yeah. I mean, you got to show that you care and it matters to you. You go out there and you commit a couple errors, then you sit there and act like you don't care. You know, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're paying our hard-earned money to go to see you play. And we understand there's mistakes, but God, just show a little emotion, please.
You want to know who I think needs to go? Reese Hoskins. I know he hit the grand slam today, but I've seen him 3 times this year. He just looks lost at the plate. I kind of like your first baseman that played the first game of the doubleheader. I don't remember. I think it's Camargo or whatever. I don't remember his name.
Oh, he's been a pleasant. He's been a utility player. He's played some third, short. He's been doing a good job. Hoskins, you know, I thought, you know, with them having now Castellano, then you have Realmuto, then you have Harper. I mean, you have enough offense. I thought that would take some pressure off him. But, yeah, he gets streaky, too, Hoskins. He can go on a tear, but, yeah, he's a hack at first base, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kills us there, too. And with Harper being hurt, has to DH, Hoskins can't DH now.
What, does he have a shattered elbow? Someone was telling me, like, at the game Saturday or Sunday, he has, like, a shattered elbow, Harper.
I don't know. I haven't heard what it is, but they said he just had some elbow soreness. So they sat him down, well, DH'd him. They said, you know, let it rest for a week. And then he went back out and tried to throw again. He still has the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank God for the DH in the National League now.
Yeah, and it's benefited both teams. I'm happy the Phillies aren't doing well. I'm not going to lie. Like,
of course.
As a Met fan, there was no other team I'd rather do that to. Maybe the Marlins, because the Marlins give the Mets the most gut-punching losses I've ever seen. But let's see. I got the no-hitter against the Phillies. I got the 7-run comeback. It was a pretty good 14.
Yeah, it was a good week for you guys. The only thing I can hope for is the typical Mets collapse in the fall. It's the only thing I can hope for. But as long as you have Scherzer and DeGrom healthy, and you have a different attitude, that's the biggest thing. The attitude
has changed it.
Yeah, with your Showalter is it? I don't think he'll allow that to happen.
Hopefully, as a Met fan, I will always be skeptic. Like the no hitter, I didn't believe it till it happened. Like I was in Williamsport and I had to pay to get into a bar. I didn't drink anything. I just wanted to see if the Mets would actually do it. That's how negative I am. Even when Realmuto got out, I was like, they're not going to get it, and then. Whoever got struck out, and I was like, oh, they got it. That's pretty nice.
You should have had confidence. It was the Phillies. Of course you're going to get it against the Phillies.
Well, you had the heart of the order coming up. Harper, Realmuto, and I don't remember the third guy. But I do remember Harper striking out, and I still didn't think they were going to get it.
Well, you got, a combined 5 pitchers or something like that?
Yeah, with like 8 walks.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
That you don't think combined no hitters count?
They don't count.
All right. I don't know how I feel about the combined no hitter.
It's not as special. It counts, but it's not as special.
Yeah. Yes, it is not as special. I know the Angels guy got it last night. I don't even know who it is.
I don't even see that yet.
I don't even stay up to watch the West Coast games. I can't.
Yeah.
But. Okay, let's transition into the draft. That's what the people want to hear more of now. They don't really care about the Phillies as much. What are your thoughts on the draft? Because I like the Giants draft, but I think I texted you this. It's a lot of hit or miss for the Giants, but what's your thoughts overall?
Well, everybody can come out now and say it's good or bad. Nobody knows. You won't know for another 2 or 3 years if it's good. You just go by who they drafted, what the board says. My thoughts on the Giants, and I have some Giants fans in class. So leading up to it, they wanted Thibodeau. And I was laughing. I'm like, I hope you get Thibodeau. I don't like him. But I'll say this. You had to take him. You had to take him at 5. It was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first 2 defensive ends went off the board 1-2. And then the top 2 cornerbacks went off at 3-4. So when you're picking at 5, you need offensive line help and defensive end help left. Well, there's only 1 defensive end left in the top 10, but there were 2 offensive linemen. So I thought they did the smart thing. Thibodeau is a boom or bust kind of guy.
Yes.
He has all the athletic tools in the world. I just worry about his mental makeup. All the stuff that was coming out about him pre-draft with his – work ethic, his attitude, and the one comment I heard about him was he loves more what football does for his personal life than he loves the game.
I don't like that.
Yeah, so.
I know he said it, and I don't like it.
But you had to take him.
Yeah, we had to.
And he turned out really good, you'd be terrible. And then your next pick, you took the lineman from Alabama, great pick for you guys. You know, you're starting to solidify your line. Because now if you have Thomas – and him as your two tackles for the next 10 years, they pan out, you have a good offensive line. Then after that, your second round pick, I've been arguing with some people that this, I hate that pick. Your little 5 foot, 870 pound wide receiver at like pick number 43. Nope.
Why did the Giants do that? Because they have Sterling Shepard's back. They have, what's his name?
Darius Toney,
and I don't, what's it? Kenny Galladay, that's what I was thinking of.
I don't understand, because Galladay's an outside receiver. Shepard's kind of a slot guy. Kadarius Toney's technically kind of a slot guy that can go outside. Kadarius Toney is a bigger version of what you just drafted.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a get the ball out and quick screens, let his athleticism take over. This Robinson guy, I mean, I had him as like more of a fourth round kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
On the board still for you at wide receiver at 43, Mechie from Alabama, Pickens from Georgia, Pierce from Cincinnati, and the guy I like the best out of all of those is Moore from Western Michigan. Moore was projected possibly as a late first-round pick, and he was sitting there for you. He's a bigger version of what you drafted. And when they picked that one, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, you drafted two offensive linemen from North Carolina, which, you know, in the draft, not everybody's going to hit. But at least you picked three offensive linemen. If two of them turn out to be players for you, you got 40% of your line set. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with all those offensive line picks. And again, once you start getting to the fifth round, if you get anybody that can start or play special teams for you, they're good picks. So I'm not sure about your third round corner that you got from LSU either.
What's his name's a corner who developed that Dave Gettleman picked? It was one of his good picks. Xavier McKinney, he's a corner, and picked him in the late rounds.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney, yeah. But this guy, his last name's Flott from LSU.
McKinney,
mm-hmm. He's a decent player. But in the third round, I thought that was a little bit of a reach. But then after that, you drafted a tight end that I loved.
Oh, you told me about him.
Bellinger.
Uh-huh. I think
San Diego State. They didn't use him much at San Diego State, but he has the athletic ability to get him like in the fourth round. He's going to step in and at least be at least a solid number two tight end. You drafted a couple linebackers again late. Seems like you do that a lot. You just get a ton of linebackers. And again, fifth, sixth round linebackers you got. They were good college players, but they don't have an athletic profile to stay on the field for three downs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. So we'll see. But I think your first two picks were must picks. If they hit, you had a pretty good draft.
Yeah, well, we can only see. And I like the Giants' new regime. I know we didn't talk
about this. Like Joe Judge, too, the first year. I remember you saying that.
Well, we could segue into him quick, and then we'll get to the Eagles and Cowboys. Last time you were on, it was before the MLB lockout. People thought you never wanted to come back. but what's your thoughts? I know it's a while ago, but if I didn't bring it up, Joe Judge is gone. We texted privately about it. I was very happy because he made a lot of stupid decisions down the stretch that he didn't have to make. He could have just been a normal coach and said, my quarterback's gone. He probably would have came back. To be honest, he was that bad.
It turned out he was kind of the circus show with him. He turned into a big clown. It was a laughing stock. I mean, that I understand your quarterback, obviously, when your Daniel Jones goes down and your two backups were absolutely, oh my God.
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, absolutely horrible. But when you're running quarterback sneaks from your own end, on like third down, second and like third down, quarterback sneaks when you have like third and seven. I mean, that's bad.
The last game of the season, too, it didn't matter.
It was awful.
I know. That's when he lost me. No, he lost me in the Philly game. When we got embarrassed in Philadelphia, where the Eagles were like trying to give us the game in the first half. And I'm not saying the Giants should have won the game, but when we were, like, getting embarrassed and he just didn't look like he didn't even care, I was like, you know what, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
I mean, usually the Eagles, I'm anticipating the worst. And as bad as they were playing in that first half, I'm like, there's no way they can lose this game with Jake Fromm quarterbacking. I mean, Eagles, there's no way. Eagles accidentally have to score a touchdown just to win this game because that's how bad your offense looked.
Yeah, the Jake Fromm days. I'll never forget those days. Glennon, Mike. Oh my God. Oh my God. Don't even get me started. How is Jake Fromm worse than Mike Glennon? I never understood that. My brain couldn't put it together. And
they're great at throwing that 2 yard out. They nailed that 2 yard pass all the time.
not Fromm. He got you. Most of his interceptions were on the 2 yard pass.
Oh God, he's terrible.
I know. I didn't even have hope. I never said he was good either. I just wanted to see what he could do. And like after the first half in Philadelphia, I was like, I don't want to ever see this guy in the field again.
Well, next year will be interesting come draft time because next year is a lot of quarterbacks coming out that, depending on how the season goes, you could have, holy cow, half dozen or more quarterbacks being talked about in the first round. So,
yeah. Daniel Jones is not going to be the Giant quarterback unless he has like a postseason type of unless he like takes the Giants to the postseason, he's done. They already declined his 5th-year option.
Right. Well, yeah, I think they're leaving the door open. I mean, if he ends up having a great start to the year and this new offense you're putting in, he's successful. I mean, they can start looking to do a deal with him, right? Mm-hmm. Give him that 5th-year option. But if he's not, oh boy, everybody knows the Giants will be drafting one.
He has potential, though. I hate to say it, but like he wins those. I don't even hate to say it. I believe in Daniel Jones when he's healthy until he makes that terrible interception and I completely do a 180.
That's what's frustrating about him so much. He'll show flashes of what he can do. And you're like, oh, you know what? He's not bad. He might be. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that.
I know. And that's how I feel. It's like there's a game to me where he's very gutsy. It's the Kansas City game. He played his butt off. The Giants just choked. The defense choked in the fourth quarter. But then there's the game like Tampa Bay where he's like throwing an interception to a lineman on the floor. And it's just like, what? What are you doing?
And yeah, like he has, you know, he's big. He's a decent arm. He's athletic. Run. He has everything you kind of want. And I think you're almost afraid to give up on it. Because he does have some things. So, I guess they're kind of in the, well, Eagles too with their quarterback situation. When we get to talk about the Eagles.
Let's transition into the Eagles.
All right.
We can start with the draft or the quarterback. You can take it.
Well, first, the big question looming is Jalen Hurts going to be the guy for the future? When Deshaun Watson fell through, they didn't get him, and Russell Wilson. There were no quarterbacks in this year that I wanted them to draft to groom. So I wanted them to stick with Jalen Hurts for another year to see. And then the ball got rolling when Eagles made the trade with the Saints. They gave up one of their first-round picks this year and gained another first-rounder next year and a second rounder the year after. That put all the cards on the table. You can see what Eagles are doing. Eagles are going to go with Jalen Hurts. If it doesn't work, they have extra picks next year to move up to get their guy. So I felt good about that going in. But then I also knew they had to get better to give him something to work with. You just can't. I mean, Devontae Smith's a nice receiver. You have Quez Watkins, who's okay. And then nothing. If you want him to prove that he can throw the ball, you need – Eagles became too – I know they ran the ball, so the Philly fans love that. But they don't have any bullies on the outside. I mean, Devontae Smith, 170 pounds. Quez Watkins, 190. They don't have that big guy that puts fear in you. And I didn't want another rookie because now you're going to put Jalen Hurts out there with Devontae Smith and another rookie, and that's not going to help. So when they made that trade for A.J. Brown, who's only 24 years old, now you got a veteran. He's 220-some pounds. He runs a 4.4. and he's one of the best receivers in football. Now you have him, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, your offensive line back. Mm-hmm. Now you see what Jalen Hurts can do. If he goes out and he improves, then you got your quarterback for the future. You don't got to worry. If he goes out and he doesn't improve, now you know the problem is the quarterback, and you got to fix it.
You're right. The one thing I will say is I've been right about Hurts so far. I said he was better than Carson Wentz.
Just from a better choice. The mental standpoint. That's why I love his legs that he can run. He plays with the Rams. You know, I think he's a team leader. His arm, though, the most important thing, he doesn't have that arm, and that's the part that just bugs me. But now, when you put a 220-pound receiver out there, and you don't have to be perfect every throw, maybe he'll make – I think he has the attitude, the willingness to improve and be coached. So I'm hoping it happens, but I don't know.
I think last year was a great experience. As much as it kills me to say it, it was a great experience for him to make the playoffs, be in some tight games down the stretch. Really, the only bad game that I think he got really criticized for was the one against the Giants They were the away team.
And we still would have won if Jalen Reagor can
catch the ball.
Catch a football. We actually win that game. You know, as far as the rest of the draft, I know people were not happy with their first pick drafting a defensive tackle. And I was kind of like up in the air with it, but I'm like, I saw something with over the past like 30 years, he ranks as the number one like athletic testing person when you put size, speed, and everything together. He's number one. So I guess you take a chance and say, you know what? Let's put a 340-pound guy in there and runs a 4.7. And see what happens. So I'm okay with that. And the other thing I was reading up, because the Eagles had to trade up to get him, because Baltimore was going to take him. They're like, they gave up all these fifth-round picks. They gave up too much for him. And then they showed the Eagles' history when they try to sit and wait for a player. If you sit and wait, there's somebody you really like, and you sit and wait, you don't get them. Now you got somebody you don't want. So I'll act – I usually hate when the Eagles trade, but if that's who they wanted, go get them. Give up your fifth-round picks that might not pan out anyway, and get the guy you want.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, a prime example of that is when the Giants traded for Eli Manning. I'm just using it as the example.
If there's a guy you want, you got to give up stuff to go get him. Mm-hmm. And now the Eagles set themselves up. They drafted a D lineman last draft. And won this draft. So now next year, Fletcher Cox can walk without having to pay him $14 million a year, and you have your replacement. So the first round, by getting A.J. Brown and Davis, loved it. Second round, nobody's going to believe me, but Eagles drafted a center out of Nebraska. And before the draft, that was the guy I wanted. I had him pegged. I thought maybe third, but they got him in the second. I love this guy. He has the attitude. He's similar to Kelsey, but bigger. And now when Kelsey retires, Eagles are going to have to use a draft pick next year to find his replacement. So next year, their line is set again. They're all young. I mean,
I think the NFC East on paper is going to be one of the brighter divisions for many years to come. Just looking at all the teams.
It's going to start, hopefully turn around, because it's been bad for years.
Yeah.
And here I am now as an Eagle, and I always – think the worst, but I have some optimism. Their offense, most of their players are 25 years old and younger. I think there's only like two players, Lane Johnson, right tackle, and Kelsey at center, who are old. They got Kelsey's replacement now in the building, and Lane Johnson still has a couple more years. So next year in the draft, if they have to trade everything to get a quarterback, that's fine. They don't have to draft anything else on offense. Defense is another story.
Yeah, I was about to say, your offense is good. Your defense needs some work.
Yeah, I think we're transitioning. It sounds like they might be changing their defensive philosophy, moving to a 3-4. But, you know, we signed Hassan Reddick, who's a good pass-rushing linebacker. And then maybe, I'm hoping, the steal of the draft in the third round, the Kobe Dean from Georgia, By the way, Giants could have selected him, you know, right before the Eagles. Mm-hmm. You had pick 81, we had 83. You picked the skinny guy from LSU. We got the linebacker from Georgia. And another thing I see the Eagles doing more, I think Howie Roseman used to outsmart himself by trying to pick the diamond in the rough that nobody knows about, and then we get crushed for it. The last 2 years, most of his players are from Alabama and Georgia. He's picking from big-time winning programs. I think that's going to help.
Yeah, and I just don't want the Eagles to be good. Even when they weren't supposed to be good last year, they made the playoffs. I mean, they're going to be good for many years to come. At least on paper, they're going to be good for many years to come.
Jalen Hurts turns out to be even just slightly above average. Because their offensive line is set, because now you have weapons, Eagles will be okay. They have to work. Their secondary's in shambles.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
Now, do we transition to the Cowboys? Because I know there's one Cowboy fan out of the 3,500 people that listen to my podcast.
Well, sure. Let's go to the Cowboys. They're always good for a little bit. I think that besides the draft, I mean, Cowboys on paper last year were by far the NFC's the best team.
Hold on. Do we want to talk about how they got eliminated from the playoffs?
And lost again? Yeah, that's always a good, fun topic.
Yeah.
Talk about how they lost in the first round again. I love that. I mean, it is sad that my only enjoyment now with football is watching Dallas lose because my team doesn't win anymore. But it is a nice thing to happen when they're talking Super Bowl and all this and that, and they get – ousted right away.
I mean, the way they lost was bad.
Yep.
Quarterback sneak. Tony Romo's reaction was the best. He was so, you could tell, rooting for the Cowboys. And then the disappointment of, what do you mean, like, there's no time left on the clock? That just made my night.
that was great. But, you know, they too, I mean, they lose, you know, their receiver. They lose some offensive linemen. They lost Randy Gregory. Yeah, they lost some pieces. Yeah, they filled some of the holes a little bit, but on paper, I don't think they're as good as they were last year. Their draft, you know, they drafted an offensive lineman in the first round who athletically is a first-round talent, but he played at Tulsa. He was only a redshirt sophomore. And I might be wrong in this, but I think he was one of the top offensive linemen in penalties.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So while he could turn out and be a great lineman for the next 10 years, or he could be a complete bust. He could be like the Danny Watkins of the Eagles they drafted years ago, but I don't know. They needed an offensive lineman. They were all gone by the time they got to him, so they took the next best one on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Left some other positions. I mean, there were some safeties there, some corners that I thought they might take instead. They took him. Then this second round, they got another interesting one. You got the defensive end from Mississippi, Williams. Athletic testing through the roof. Like, oh, my God, why isn't this guy a first-round pick? Well, he had some off-the-field issues, so he goes to Dallas. That makes sense. And his production, he had some production at Mississippi, but there wasn't a lot of hype because there was some worry about him. But he replaces Randy Gregory, so that could help. Their best pick, in my opinion, was their third-round pick. They got this guy, Tolbert, a wide receiver, in the third round. He's a good one. He's going to come in there, and he's going to be a solid, like, number two or three receiver for them. So I like that pick. Then after that, they got a tight end from Wisconsin who's okay. They got a lineman from North Dakota, you know, a project. Oh, the other one I like. Here's a sleeper for you, for Dallas fans. In the fifth round, they drafted a defensive back, I think from Fresno State. Last name's Bland. He's going to end up being a starter for them. Maybe not this year, but down the road. He has the size, speed, athleticism. He's kind of an unknown, but during my draft thing, his name kept popping up. So he's a pretty good one. And then they also drafted a linebacker from LSU, Damone Clark. He's good. He was there in the fifth round, though, because he had spinal fusion surgery after the season. So he might not play this year, but they use a fifth-round pick on a guy that might sit a year and come in and be a real good linebacker. So, again, they didn't get any – they kind of did the opposite. They look like an Eagles draft.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of smaller school guys, you know, Tulsa, South Alabama, North Dakota State, Fresno State, you know. But we'll see in a couple of years.
That's honestly what the NFL draft is. You can think you had the best draft in the world, and then 2 years from now, no one on your team could be playing. Kind of like the 2018 Giant draft. No one from that draft is around. Yeah. Well, let's just be honest. Every NFC East draft, except maybe a couple Cowboy players.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why the NFC East has been down for so many years. We just some poor drafts.
But we're on the up. I will say this. I want the division to be a competitive division. Not for everyone keeps losing. Just because, like, just 10 years ago, when the Giants won their last championship, the Eagles were good, the Cowboys were good.
Yeah.
And really ever since the Giants' last championship, the NFC East has been down. Except the Eagles when they won their championship, of course. They were dominant that year.
Which I still don't know how, but they were the last NFC East Super Bowl winning team. Eagles.
Yeah. Don't worry, the Giants will be back someday. They go through these stretches in their history.
This is a long one. This is a long one.
I will say this. This stretch is worse than the 70s. Because there's still no way the Giants are out of this yet. They're still towards the end of the way.
Yeah, because they also had some salary cap issues.
Yep, that's why it's worse.
You just got rid of Bradbury, who's a solid – who didn't have a great year, but he's a solid corner. But you had to get rid of salary cap reasons. And that's the big rumor that Eagles will pick him up. I don't believe it. Eagles are not getting Bradbury.
They should pick him up. Bradbury had a decent year last year, but the year before he had a great year. And I think people thought he had a down year because his first year with the Giants was so good. He won us a lot of games last year.
He's a starting NFL corner, but – see, the Eagles have Slay on one side.
He's good.
Now they have – there's no veterans. There have a whole bunch of guys they traded for last year, some late-round picks. There's like four guys for that, and I don't believe the Eagles are going to go into the year. But right now I think they're letting everything settle. They might see if some people get released, but Bradbury's going to end up signing a one-year deal somewhere. Somebody's going to fit him in for 1 year, and he's going to try to – it's like a play, like – a play for your contract type year. That's why people, I think the Eagles think, but he's not going to get as much because nobody would trade for him because of his contract. They didn't want to pay him $14 million. So he might get somewhere around like $10 million for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
which is about what the Eagles have in salary cap.
If I was the Eagles, I would do it. And I'm not just saying that as a net, just to thinking he's losing his touch. I just think it was salary cap reasons the Giants let him go.
Yeah, if Eagles are serious about winning the division this year and the NFC is down, I mean, they have to be satisfied. Like, their offense is set.
Yes.
Defense, their defensive line, I mean, our edge rushers aren't the greatest, but we have a ton of depth on the D-line. We signed a linebacker in Reddick. We drafted N'Kobe Dean. We have this Davion Taylor who missed last year due to a knee injury. He's back. So our linebackers are better than we've had in years. We have Slay, but we have no safeties and we're missing a corner. We need some second. If we get some secondary help, I do think the Eagles then potentially could be a 10-11 win team with their schedule.
Do they have an easy schedule? Because the Giants have a hard schedule.
I know Eagles have – they have to play, like, Green Bay. They have to play – I was just looking at it the other day, too. You know, obviously, we got all the division games. We play the Vikings, who we can beat. Let me see here. Their opponents here.
Three
with the Cowboys, two with the Commanders, two with the Giants. We get the Packers, Vikings, Saints, Jaguars, Titans is a tough one, Steelers, Bears, Lions, Cardinals, Colts, Texans. So it's not, again, barring injuries, it's not an impossible schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. And the Mets just 4-3 Nationals. That's great. Great update. Anyway, we'll see. The NFL season is a couple months away, even though OTs are, they start in July now? End of July?
Yeah, they already had. Eagles already had a little mini camp.
Rookie mini camp or whatever. Yeah,
that's what, when people were saying N'Kobe Dean fell so far in the draft because he was hurt and he didn't opt for surgery. N'Kobe Dean was already out in the field and practicing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he's fine.
We will see. And well, we got to transition into Tom Brady. I mean, we don't have to talk about it for long, but I'm just going off of audience questions.
Oh.
He retired, then unretired, and then signs a 10-year deal with Fox.
Yeah, he's playing football, but signed a 10-year deal to be a commentator.
Yeah.
He's going to make, because of the deals he signed with New England to save him money, he might make more money commentating than he did as the quarterback for the Patriots. Honestly, when you, I don't turn on an NFL game because who's commentating. I turn on an NFL game if the Eagles are playing or it's a good matchup that I'm interested in seeing. I really don't care about the commentator. I'm not watching the game to listen to a commentator. Tony Romo, I must have just turned the sound off when he was the commentator. He was brutal.
Oh, I know.
So that just shows you how much money these networks have. To fork over all that money to Tom Brady, you don't even know if he's going to be good or not. That's crazy.
I was not shocked when he got the deal. But again, I have no hatred towards Tom Brady because the Giants took care of him in the biggest game. So
We know.
I have no hatred.
So did the Eagles. Nick Foles took care of them too.
Well, you played them twice, and you're 1-1. The Eagles are 1-1. The Giants are 2-0.
But there was a scandal with the first loss. We should have won. They videotaped our practices. They cheated.
So, do we talk about the Sixers? Are you following the Sixers? Because
I watched, I think, 5 minutes of the game last night because you could see from the start. It was they there. Oh God, talk about a train wreck too. I mean, first Ben Simmons, glad he's gone, and they bring in Harden, which is fine. You get what you can get. You try to make a run at it, but Harden all of a sudden looks like he's 50 years old playing the game. It's the same thing every game with him. He gets the ball, dribble, 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 pass, dribble, dribble. There's nothing. If he resigns for a max deal,
he's going to resign.
I quit.
You're going to quit?
I quit. There's no way. I mean, at some point you have to cut your losses. He looks ancient playing the game now. Ancient. And then Joel Embiid yesterday looked like a little baby because he didn't win the MVP award. Instead of going out there with a fire in his butt to go play and prove people wrong, he goes out there and flops on the ground when he gets hit in the face. Granted, he has a broken orbital, but flopping around like he's dead, and he comes back in the game in a couple minutes. Come on. I know they want to try to win while Embiid's there, but they're not going to win with Harden, giving him $50 million a year. You're not.
Now, it's pretty safe to say, as a Knicks fan, I don't follow basketball as passionately as I do at baseball and football. Is James Harden really that bad? Because last year he almost took the Nets to the conference finals or whatever. What happened?
When he first came to Philly, his first couple games, he looked like, oh, man, we're going to the finals. I mean, it looked like, how are you going to stop the Sixers? You have Maxey, you have Harden, and B, they looked great. Then all of a sudden, when they played the Nets, the Nets crushed them. Absolutely crushed them. And Harden looked like a scared little baby in that game. And from then on, like, he looks like he lost his confidence. Absolutely looked like he got. He's doing the same thing every game. He dribble, and then he tries to drive, and he's not quick enough anymore. So teams were letting him shoot because he wasn't shooting well. And then he couldn't drive anymore. Then he drives and he thinks he's fouling. He flails his arms in the air every time. It's painful. The Sixers, I don't know what they can do. I don't know if letting him go frees up money for them to get somebody, but God, Maxey's is really fast. But everybody else on their team is a freaking snail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tobias Harris is okay, but everybody they bring off the bench, they're slow and slower. It's like, oh God.
Now, is it 1-1? Because I think I know why people left the Phillies game, because the Sixers were playing Sunday. And it wasn't because it was Mother's Day. It was because the Sixers were playing. They were going over to the beautiful Xfinity Center, which is a beautiful place. I wish the Mets had a place like that. Did they win game one?
Well, that was actually game four.
Oh, was that game four?
Because Embiid didn't play the first two games because he was injured. They lost the first two in Miami. Then they came home. Then they won the next two to tie the series. Last night was game five. In Miami, when if they would have won, they would have had a series pitching game in Philly, but no. They decide to not show up. Yesterday in Miami, they were probably out partying the night before. That's probably what it was. Down in Miami, South Beach. That Joel Embiid, I bet his eye didn't hurt when he was out the night before with Harden.
You might have a point.
Yeah, that's right. Sixers will come home. Maybe they'll play fired up the wind, then they'll have to go down to South Beach again, and they'll lay another egg.
You're probably right. I just don't see the Sixers. I thought if they would have won the game last night, and I'm sorry for my fupe for all the listeners. I knew it was game four. I could already hear it now in the comments. But I thought if they would have won last night, they would have probably won the series. But I don't know if they're going
to
do it
back
now.
To Philly. I think so, too.
And Philly fans are...
Being a Philly fan right now, I mean, the Flyers, I don't even bother bringing them up. They're a laughing stock.
I couldn't even tell you anything about the Flyers. I don't follow hockey. I know the Rangers are
only
balling
time
right now.
They won this year was the last week of the season to blow their top three pick. That's the only time they ever win. That's it. That's something the Eagles would do if like they're gonna have the number one pick and there's a surefire like John Elway quarterback coming out. The Eagles will go out and win their last two games so they don't get that pick. That's what would happen.
You're talking to a Giant fan. I mean, I don't really know what winning is.
This is true. The Giant fans a year before crying that the Eagles tanked and lost on purpose to blow their 6-10 playoff hopes. Yeah, I remember that.
I was not crying. The fan base was crying, but I was not. I thought the Giants, I blame more that Eagle game that we blew, that if Evan Engram catches the pass, I'm so happy he's gone.
Well, you lost Engram now. He went somewhere else.
Oh, I'm so happy he's gone. He's such – he was not very good this year either, so it's not like we were really missing anything.
No.
We're letting him go. And Kyle Rudolph, too, goodbye. Like, go away.
Too old.
Didn't understand the signing. You can go back in when I was talking with Justin Penick with John Boy Media. I didn't understand that. We both didn't understand the signing. We were kind of like confused when they announced it when we were doing the podcast together. We were confused. So good. Go away. And Dave Gettleman, goodbye. Thanks for nothing. But on the bright side, Saquon Barkley got a degree in broadcasting, which is the degree I'm going for. So, I mean, I got that.
Well, you know, if he continues to have the years he's having, he'll be in broadcasting pretty quick then, huh? No, he's
you're right.
He's not that bad. I mean, he's had some injuries. He's been playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. Yeah, you know, I don't care how good you are, you can't run the ball if there's no holes. And Barkley's biggest problem, which is a problem for many Penn State running backs, is they dance too much to try to hit the home run all the time. Instead of just hitting the hole and getting 3, 4, or 5 yards, he tries to go for the 50-yard one every time. And when there's no blocking, you're not going to 50 yards.
He might not have a career if he gets hurt again.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. As a Penn State fan and a Giant fan, I do not want that to happen. But he's had a lot of injuries. He's had one healthy season, and that was his rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, he's had ankle, knee, and, you know, in the NFL, everybody's good. I mean, one little lost step, that's the difference. That is a big difference in the NFL. Well, just in baseball, you know, think about speed, how just like stealing a base, you know, it's a hundredth of a second is the difference between being safe or out. I mean, it matters.
You're right. And speaking of baseball, the Phillies did lose a controversial game because of Angel Hernandez, the strike on Sunday Night Baseball.
I don't care if Schwarber hits 200 the rest of the year like he's doing now. His ejection was one of the best ejections ever, because he did not like go after the umpire. He was not in his face, but the fact that he went the home plate, pointed to the one side of the plate, pointed to the other side of the plate, put his arms up in the air for high, pointed to the opponent's dugout saying, "You stink for them. You stunk for us." Like, he wasn't even complaining that they were screwing the Phillies. He was just complaining that he just flat out stinks. That was classic.
Yeah.
Then Joe Girardi comes out to talk to the umpire. That made it all.
Talk. He didn't even get like a warning. He just walked back to the dugout. He was like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Schwarber's was the best.
Yeah.
That was phenomenal. That was one of the best arguments I've ever seen. And he did it like in a clean, he did it in such a way like the MLB couldn't even suspend him.
you couldn't suspend him, and you can make a case that the Phillies lost that game because of Angel Hernandez. It was a 1-0 game.
Terrible. I mean, like, I don't like, he was, the thing is, Angel Hernandez was bad for both teams. He was brutal. And I mean, Schwarber's pitch was bad, but the one earlier in the game to what's his face? Segura. Did you see that one?
I did. That was bad.
Oh my God. It wasn't even in the area code. And Segura just turns and looks at him like, what? I didn't think they showed a catch of the pitcher. And the pitcher kind of smirked. I was like, oh, my God. I can't believe that. Yeah,
That was bad. He's a bad umpire. I don't know why he's still employed. It's like, I don't get it.
He makes some of our umpires up here in this conference look half decent. That's how bad. You can't miss a ball that's over a half a foot inside. You can't.
Now that I'm out of the Eastern United Conference, I can say those umpires up there, Division III umpires, terrible. You think it would get better? You could talk to our good buddy, Double I. Even he would say, because I would help call his pitches, terrible. We would just look at each other like, we had so many conversations.
Which, by the way, I'm highly disappointed. Like, you guys got swept by that Bible school.
I know. I was disappointed too. But the coaches,
I was thinking about sending something on that, but me being a Catholic, I can't go against a Bible school. But to lose to a 3 in a row
in non-competitive games, they weren't competitive games.
Yeah, I saw the scores and I was like, either that whole team like went to church that week every day and you guys did. I don't know. Maybe you should try that. I don't know. But to lose 3 to that? Holy.
I will say this. If we would have won one of those games, we would have been in the playoffs. I was pretty – the Abington game, I don't know if you saw that, the first game against Abington, that one killed me inside because it was like, I was calling the right pitches, but we had a terrible catcher that would just throw the ball over Miller's head. So Miller was tired. He was having to do jumping jacks on the mound, and he just came up to me and he said, I'm fried. I said, why? He said, it's cold, and I'm doing jumping jacks, and I'm just like, I'm just tired. So we had to take him out. And like, oh my God, we should have won that game. We lost 7-6. We should have won. If Miller goes one more inning, we win that game.
And then what was the team? They scored 4 touchdowns against you?
Harrisburg?
I don't know. They scored 20. Harrisburg.
Oh, no, that was the out-of-conference game. Some Del Valle school where it was hailing and raining. And literally, I just started screaming. You're one pitch away. You can get a ground ball. They spent a Miskanic up to the plate, a former Parkland guy, and I was like, you can get this guy out. You can do it. And we just walked him, and I was like, oh my God! I literally flipped my hat in the air. I'm like, all right. I literally had to sit in the corner the rest of the game.
Well, luckily they didn't go for 2. I was here to put a 30 spot up on you. At some point.
They tried.
Holy cow.
They were a team that was not taking their foot off the gas pedal. Like, they were enjoying what they were doing to us.
Well, yeah, when you score 28 runs, that's a stat booster. I forget what stat I was with. They were showing somebody's stats. Like, boy, this guy has good numbers. But then if you look at the last game they had, like, 10 of their 15 RBIs, like, in one game. I'm like, no, this guy's only had one good game all year.
Well, the thing about my time at Berks is, and I guess I should thank the athletic department, because I don't know if I'll be coaching again. I'm still waiting for that. But anyway, we've never lost competitive games except the Abington game. When we lose in style. It's like non-competitive games. I'll admit it.
3 to a Bible school and 28 points in another one. 28 runs.
Well, the best is when we go up to Williamsport and we're having our ace pitch, who pitched for us at Liberty. He always brings it up to me. He's like, yeah, in 2017, I took away that district title from you. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm like, yeah. I wasn't even really even helping out the coaching staff. I was more just called up to learn varsity for that playoff. But, yeah, you did. I was like, so he's out there and he's pitching. So the guy goes out to make a mound visit. And he's like, yeah, I'm done. My arm's about to fall off. And the coach is like, well, we don't have anybody up. And at this point, I'm like, I just look at the head coach. I'm like, you don't have anybody up in a playoff game? That's really what I said. I'm like, all right. I just said, I'm done. I said, all right. But we won the game, so I couldn't complain. Thanks to my pitching decisions, might I add. I basically ran the pitching staff the rest of the game. But then he told me, I'll never forget, I can do this on my own. He did it on his own, all right. We lost the next 2 games, non-competitive. He was serious. I was just like, all right. So Miller's in the bullpen warming up. He's like, are you going to help call pitches today? I'm like, no, he says he wants to do it on his own. And Miller said, we're screwed. That's really what he said to me. We were in a former single-A Philly bullpen together. And he's like, well, it's been a pleasure. And I said, yeah, it's been a pleasure, all right. I'm not, because he's a nice guy, and it was his first year coaching. We went through a coaching change again right before the season.
Well, I remember that one guy left, you told me.
Jackson.
Right?
I sent you his resignation letter.
If I remember correctly, part of it, like, he jumped around from a couple teams and stuff, and generally, when you're doing that, there's something going on when you have to go from one to the next. Yeah. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, you know, maybe it's me.
I like Coach Eric, the guy that replaced him at Berks. I think he did a great job recruiting and stuff. He made some mistakes, but he's a first-year head coach. But Jackson, oh, my God. I have no problem saying this. One of the worst coaches I ever worked with.
And that's the guy that left.
Yeah, that comes from everyone. That comes from the Penn State Berks Athletic Department. That comes from his assistants. I have no problem saying that on the record. He was full of himself. He would throw temper tantrums. Like, he was like, it was like a nightmare going to work for him every day. He didn't even know the assistant coaches' names. Like, he didn't even know our names. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, see, that just shows, like you said, he's egotistical. And, you know, I know there's things where, you know, some people have obviously different personalities, and some people have the tempers and stuff, but you have to show the people around that, you know, you're a team and that you care. And to not even know a name of somebody shows that, you know, you don't care. And if you're showing your team that you don't care, then why should they want to come play for you?
I think
that's how you are. Getting the you can be a yeller and a screamer. I mean, I think I've played for all kinds, but still at the end of the day, you know, they care. They're just passionate and they show in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he held a team meeting the day he left and he said, "How do you think we guys can improve?" And they said, "Well, we need to take batting practice. We need to do this. We need to do that." And they were valid criticisms, and they were nice. And then he got so, I'm not going to say what I said at the time, but he got so hurt, he quit.
Coaches sometimes they think they're the know-all. My way is the best way, and one of the. Ben, like I said, I always respect Coach Weber because his demeanor, you know, he's just so laid back, but he cares a ton. And one of the times, like, he came to practice one day and said, basically everything like we're doing, it's obviously not working. I mean, you have to sometimes look at yourself and say, I'm not doing it right. And he said, you know, let's just ask the players, you know, and let the players be honest. If they're critical of us, good. Then, you know, we got to take a look at ourselves and, you know, and have the players, you know, say what they think we need to do or what needs to get better. And, you know, some of the players, their response is, you know, completely ridiculous. But, you know, some of them, though, had some ideas and what they thought needed to change and stuff. And that's part of it. And then I think the team then respects you because you want their opinion. How many times, you know, I know Coach Weber does it. I did, you know, when you're in school and you have some of the kids, you just talk to them about things, you know, how things are going or any thoughts on stuff. And, you know, it helps those relationships too.
Yeah. And
that's how you win.
That's something he didn't do. It was bad. I mean, and I sent you his resignation letter. That was not my grammar mistakes of copying and pasting the email. That was, That's how he typed it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I'm not gonna like go too deep into it, but I was so happy the night he resigned. I was like legitimately like, it's actually gonna help us get better because he left, and it did. I guarantee you, we don't win 17 games if he's there.
Probably not.
Probably not. Like five.
Yeah,
because the players got motivated because he dished the program on the way out. He pretty much sent all the assistants pretty mean emails, including me. And I was like, "You do know my name? I guess you just got that off my email name." Like,
good to know.
That's really what I said. I said I didn't respond to it. I said, "All right, that's good to know."
Yeah, that's terrible. You can't eat. That's ridiculous.
So I heard you have some Giant fans. You brought it up, but they're not as good as I was. I mean, you don't have to write them as many late passes as you did for me.
No, they're not. But there's one I have near the end of the day that's a diehard Giant fan. And we were talking draft, and he was talking about Thibodeau the weeks leading up. I'm like, please, I hope you draft him. And, yeah, we had some good – back and forth. He tried to say to me that AJ Brown was a bad trade. I'm like, like, all right, whatever. Now you're crazy.
No one will beat my hot takes. No one will ever beat those in that classroom. I can guarantee you that no one will beat them. And some of them were good, some of them were bad. But I have some good ones. So I have some ones that panned out. I'll admit it.
Well, we all have a lot that don't pan out, so.
Yeah, just the Giants will turn around eventually.
Well, odds are sooner or later they're gonna have a winning record. They have to.
Eventually, I mean, I was excited about a 6-10. Every Giant fan was. It wasn't just me. It was every Giant fan on social media.
You were excited for 6-10.
We were excited because Joe Judge actually came through on his promise. We saw improvement from Pat Shurmur. Oh, my God. Pat Shurmur was awful. Don't even get me started on it. Oh, my. His clock management. Oh.
Well, he's a former Eagle coach, so you got him.
That's the one thing Joe Judge did that I actually will give him a notch over Pat Shurmur. He didn't know that clock management until that quarterback sneak. Until the last game, he knew what he was doing with clock management.
You know what would have happened if he was the Philly coach and we quarterback sneaked in that situation? Joe Judge might not have lived.
I was about to
stand out of the stadium.
I know that Angel Hernandez had to get escorted out by security. Like, his card legitimately had to get escorted out by security.
Yeah, if they think we were cruel to Santa Claus years ago, just wait.
Yeah, you're the fan base that threw coal or something. Not coal, like something at Santa Claus.
Snowballs. Snowballs at Santa. Right. Now, I did see years ago when I went to an Eagles-Giants game, back when the Eagles were good. I think it was the playoff game.
So back when the Giants were good too?
When Garcia, I think we had Garcia was our quarterback because McNabb was hurt, and we kicked a field goal to win it. But before the game, a Giant fan with his jersey went in a porta potty.
Oh, jeez.
And they, yeah, the Eagle fans tipped the porta potty over with him inside it.
So I went back to Philly. I've been back by myself four times now, or three times, because I've seen four games in the past year. I don't even wear my Mets stuff. I wear a hat.
If you want to come back in one piece, it's good not to do that stuff. Now, Philly's games aren't as bad, but if you'd wear a Giants jersey to an Eagles game, you really are, like, risking your life.
I will never go to see an Eagles game. You will not. You could not pay me enough. Unless it's like a Giant, not Giant, I mean Bears, like something like that, Bears, Eagles, or somewhere like, you could not pay me to go watch a Giant Eagle game in Philadelphia.
I haven't been to an Eagles game in years, guys. I don't feel like taking a whole day to drive down there, and the ticket prices and the parking are ridiculous. So I'll just watch, get frustrated at home. But if I would see you at an Eagles game, I'd tell everybody you're a Giant fan. I'd point, I'd have signs, Giant fan right here.
And if you would buy the tickets, I might consider it. I would consider it. That's all I would say.
Uh-oh. When the schedule comes out, I'm going to have to look on StubHub.
You're going to look on StubHub?
StubHub. Off to get tickets.
I will not wear a Giant shirt, but I will not wear a Giant shirt, but I will cheer a little bit.
I'll be pointing to you the whole time. Hey, I'm an Eagles fan. This guy right here. Mm-hmm.
Hey. I can't say no to free tickets. I'm not driving there, by the way. I'm not driving to Philadelphia. I've done that three times. I hate it. It gives me a massive headache. I literally left Penn State Brooks, which is closer to Philadelphia. It's 45 minutes away. 2 hours.
Oh, it's crazy.
I missed the first pitch of the game because of an accident. And leaving there, it's an utter mess. Leaving your car in Philadelphia these days because of all the laws they've passed about. And I'm not just saying it. This is what my criminal justice teacher said when I took my criminal justice classes. You can't do it anymore. Like, even the security guards say this lot's better, but then you have to tip them.
That's why I don't go to games anymore. It costs me so much. Like, forget it.
Well, I made the thing. Now the next time I go, I'm just gonna Uber there. I'll pay the $150 just to do it, because I'm saving money in the long run. I'm spending the same amount in gas and in parking.
Yeah, we used to take the SEPTA in. We used to drive to Cheltenham and then get on the SEPTA and then drop you off in front of the stadium.
But they weren't that bad this weekend. They were more upset with the Philly fan, the Phillies, yeah, in general, than the Met fan. I was actually very surprised.
Yeah, you were lucky because of Girardi. That took all the heat off the New York Met fans.
But when McGill pitched that gem, I was nervous because Diaz loaded the bases and Philly fans got really excited. And then they struck out two times in a row. And then I was like, okay, we got to go. Like, that's really what I said in my head. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's make this quick. I didn't even like really celebrate. I was like, all right, let's go. But there was one guy this weekend that had like these Mets rings on and he was banging up against like the metal. Oh my God. Oh, they were going to mug him. I felt bad for him. Like, he had to get escorted. He was kicked out because Philly fans were like, we're going to come up there and like I think you can all figure it out. Like, yeah, it was bad. But I was talking with the Met fam, and we just looked at each other, and we were like, kind of deserved it. Like, what? Like, you're asking for it at that point when you're being that loud. You're asking for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, Mets are in first place now, so they're pumping their chests out a little bit. So.
All right. Before we go, any TV shows that you want to tell my audience about? I know both of the audience and you enjoy talking about that part.
Let's see. Well, I just finished Ozark.
Oh.
Good one. That's my pick. If you've never seen Ozark, four seasons of it, it's a great show. Mm-hmm. First season's a little you got to make it through the first season, then you're golden.
All right. So it gets better. That's what the audience will like to hear, because I don't remember your last pick. Was it The Walking Dead or something?
The Walking Dead. I would have not recommended The Walking Dead in the past couple of years. I mean, I'd see it, but it's time to go. It's time to put that in the rest.
It's still going?
Yeah, there's another like third of a season left that will probably come out next year, like 7 or 8 episodes. Oh, it's got to go. It's horrendous.
They killed off all the main characters, though. Because I remember the main characters. I watched the first, like, 8 seasons. The first 8 seasons were all right.
Once Negan and Rick War ended, they might as well just cancel the show after that.
That's what I was about to say. I think that was season 9. I stopped watching after season 9. That's
well, Negan's still alive.
Rick's dead, right?
Rick, well, not necessarily. Nobody knows.
What?
Rick has disappeared years ago. Presumed dead, but he's really not dead, we don't think. But he hasn't been on the show. Daryl's still there, Carol's still there, Maggie. But it's god awful.
It's bad.
I have to watch it to the end now, but it's painful to watch.
Now, I know that you could just watch Talking Dead and get the whole like recap if they still have that. I don't know.
I stopped watching that too. I stopped.
You stopped?
Watching that completely. Watching a 1-hour episode is enough. I don't need a recap because the show's terrible.
It's that bad.
It's that bad.
I don't know how that show's still going. I really don't. I think they would run out of the comic books end, because I did read the comic books. Someone gave them to me to read, and I was bored during COVID. I read them. The comic books are kind of – the main comic book story is over.
Yeah, it should have ended. We've had some other villains after Negan. Nobody even comes close to comparing. They're terrible. It's just not good.
It's not.
And it's so long now after the apocalypse started in the show that, like, how are these people, like, in the show having nice clothes with shirts and ties and their glasses on? They have medical facilities. Like, where are they getting all this stuff from? I mean, the apocalypse is going on for like 10 years with this show, and nobody's making clothes, but everybody has new clothes. Like, it makes no sense. No.
Yeah, I don't.
They have all these weapons now. Like, where are they getting these weapons from and bullets? It's stupid.
Wouldn't the zombies either eat the flesh, or wouldn't they have eventually just died out? Wouldn't they have come up with a cure by now, these doctors?
Yeah, but everything's, there's like no electricity, and I don't know. It makes no sense. Not that a show about zombies ever does really make sense, but
they were in that gated community. I don't remember what season that was, but they had electricity and running water.
Oh, that's probably Alexandria. Yeah, that's – well, that got blown up a couple times, but it's still there.
It's still –
I want it to end, so I don't have to waste my time, but I have to see it to the end. It's terrible.
Do you watch it by yourself, or do you watch it with somebody else that you're like, well, I have to watch it now to talk about it?
Well, my wife stopped watching it. Once Negan killed the one guy, she couldn't watch it anymore. Mm-hmm. So now my one daughter watches it. So we have to do it till the end.
Yeah, like you're forced into it. I understand now. Like you're really forced into it because you're watching it with somebody else.
Yeah, I've invested like 10, 11 years. I gotta watch the last couple episodes.
That's the best thing about baseball. I don't. I have not gotten into a TV show in a long time. there hasn't really been anything good coming out the past few years, if you're being 100% honest.
Nope. So on Netflix, we watch Ozark. Ozark's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, Seinfeld is always a good
one. Well, that's a classic. I mean, when I had COVID in this, I had COVID over Christmas, so I couldn't have Christmas this year. So I was stuck in the basement. Terrible. Huh?
That's terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I was vaccinated. I had the booster shot. And I want to thank Penn State because I got it at Penn State graduation. So so I got stuck in the basement for 10 days. So I was binge watching Seinfeld on Netflix.
So here's the funny thing. I had a upper respiratory infection that they diagnosed really late. But I think it was COVID. I really do.
My wife just – she got 3 weeks ago. She had 3 weeks. She thought she just had allergies. And she tested positive. You know, I'm around her all day. I didn't get it again. But she got it.
It's very weird. Like, I think it was when the Giants and Eagles were playing, like, the day after Christmas. Like, I was
– That's when I had it.
I was pretty sick. They say it's an upper respiratory – my whole family was sick. They said it was an upper respiratory infection, but they sent that to me like a month later after I was pretty much better. But I think it was that other variant. And I was boosted too. I wasn't like I wasn't boosted.
I was boosted. I thought when I came back, I went to school and my throat was scratchy. And I thought it was just from being – because I was at Penn State graduation, loud. My God, my throat just hurts from talking too much. Went to school the next day and I'm like – throat's just starting to feel better. Then I just started to feel goofy. Like, I got tired. I got, like, lightheaded. It was weird. Like, I wasn't myself. Like, I couldn't, like, see. I was, like, weird. So the next day, I'm like, I better go to the doctor. And they tested me and said, you're positive. And then the sore throat came in full force. Basically, sore throat, sinus problems, but the worst.
I threw up.
The fatigue was the worst.
Yeah.
If I would get up down here in the basement and walk around for a little bit, I'd have to take a nap.
I'm legitimately that was the same thing. I threw up whenever I had, whether it was COVID or that upper respiratory. That was bad. That was the first time I threw up in like 12 years.
Yeah, we didn't have any stomach issues.
And that's like one of the main signs, but it still always came back negative. That's the weird thing.
Hmm.
And I was fatigued, and I had a sinus problem when I was fatigued. I probably called it at Penn State first, probably. When I went in to take my final that one day, I got my best final grade that semester too. And I don't even remember taking the test.
Well, it's going around down here again. We're getting hit with a wave.
Oh, I know. Now you're at school though. You're at school with like hundreds of kids.
Yeah, they had the prom this weekend.
Yeah,
I didn't go to the prom, but from what I'm gathering, tons of positive cases this week now. So they're guessing that the prom probably there was a lot.
Let's hope Luke Meehan didn't get it or Barthol didn't get it. I know they.
Oh yeah.
Luke sent me some pictures. He's not sick, but we still talk. Uh-huh. So I hope he didn't get it because they'd be screwed because he's like their best hitter.
And Bart, I haven't heard any baseball players getting it. So I just know a bunch of teachers yesterday and some students all left yesterday and went and got tested. And a lot of them came back positive.
I'm just so happy that pandemic hit when I was out of there, because I just that's a breeding. That seems like a breeding ground.
Yeah, it is.
I hate to be that guy, but it just seems like that's what was kind of, that boy's bathroom was disgusting before. And like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's definitely 3,000 people packed in that building. Yeah, it was interesting last year. When every time somebody had it, you got a phone call, contact tracing.
You couldn't go into work that – because I know at Penn State last year, being a coach and part of the student government. So my freshman year, you couldn't go into school the next day and everything. It was like nuts.
Yeah. I was a close contact. I didn't get it at that time, but yeah, I had to stay home. And then this year I got it over Christmas, so I really didn't miss school. I just spent my whole holiday in the basement.
At least you got to see some Eagles wins.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up.
I gotta go run to the store quick. I gotta pick up some food.
All right, this has been an edition of the Mets News Podcast. Subscribe, tell my platforms. You know the drill. I don't really care at this point. Stay safe. Have a good one.